Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today it's our 200th episode. We've done 200. So we have a lot of stuff planned for you on the show today. We're going to share with you some insider knowledge, our most listened to episodes of the podcast. We're also going to preview some movies that are coming out later this year in 2023 to get you excited for those. And we're going to share with you our biggest Oscar snubs. We have three each. And we also asked our guest hosts that have been on the show to share theirs as well. So we've got some audio clips from them that we'll be sharing with you too.
I'm so proud of us, Jared. I have been waiting for this. 200 is no small feat. And when we started, I don't even know what our goal was. We just thought it'd be fun to like do a podcast together.
Yeah, we just like had a conversation. We're like, should we do a podcast?
Yeah.
And then we did, and we started it. And then about the time we got good at it was when COVID happened and there was no movies coming out. So that we really planned that really well because we did it for about a little less than a year. And then COVID happened, I believe, if that's correct. So,
Well, and I think it's been really helpful. And I know people listen, which makes me feel better because I've been asked by so many people what we use, what equipment, what it takes to start a podcast. And I even got asked professionally recently. There is an organization I work with in the community that is starting their own podcast and they're doing something for kids.
Okay.
And they wanted to know like how we do it and what we do. And so it wasn't even just like a friend talking to a friend. So we should be really proud of ourselves. And it's been a lot of fun. And I would argue I've learned a lot about like podcasting, but what works and what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And what all the effort it takes to, because we're, you know, it's not like we're getting paid as a second job for this, but we spend a lot of time every week doing it. You with editing, me posting about it, doing the notes, and also sitting to watch all these movies and TV shows.
Yeah. Yep. So I feel like, we've gotten better at hosting and communicating throughout the years that we've been doing this. And also, I think better at just watching movies too, because I think we look at them maybe a little more critically now that we are reviewing them. I think we pick up on some trends a little bit more and can catch some things a little bit better than maybe before we started this, because we're watching it with a little closer eye when we watch something that we're reviewing for the show. So,
although admittedly, I could never be like a Roger Ebert because I'm too nice.
No.
And I seem to like pretty much everything. I'm not good at separating the art from the artist, clearly. And I just like what I like. But it's fun either way. And I think the one thing I find maybe the funniest is how much I'll like score something and feel so – I'll be like, that was a 90 for me. And then 2 weeks later, I'll be like, that should have been a 50. I don't know what I'm doing. So that's funny too.
Always second guessing the scores.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So before we get into all that, we do have some news items first, and these are unfortunately some sad news items. So Angus Cloud died at the age of 25. You may know him from Euphoria. He plays Fez on that show, or played Fez on that show, and unfortunately passed away at the age of 25 at his home. We don't really know many more details than that, but obviously very young, was kind of on a rise to fame being on Euphoria, that is a very popular show. And a lot of people liked his character on that show. But unfortunately he has passed away.
Yes. And they haven't given a lot of details. I don't know that I thought it was a joke when I saw it yesterday on social media, but I was like, well, that can't be right. Like I just was confused. Because he's 25 and I just thought, why? But then I read his father passed away last week. And apparently he's had extreme mental health struggles and has been very open about that. So they haven't said specifically what it – I'm sure at some point it will be revealed. But it's really sad. And I told Jared before the show, I watch Euphoria. I think it's maybe one of the most chaotic, difficult shows I've ever watched. It's not like a show I get a lot of pleasure out of, or maybe any. But I can't stop watching it because I want to know what's happening. And it's so popular that I – would feel weird not knowing what's going on the show. But he was easily – he's definitely my favorite male character on the show. And I'm just devastated for his family and for everyone that knows him and worked on that show too. But yeah, they had not started filming the new season anyway because of the strike and everything. But I hope his family's doing okay. What a sad, sad loss at 25.
Another death, celebrity death, was Paul Rubens, who you may know more as Pee Wee Herman, who passed away at the age of 70 due to cancer. Lots of people liked his comedy and his style of comedy. Not the best maybe person per se in terms of his personal life and some things he did off screen, but still obviously somebody that was in the public eye for quite a while and passed away.
He was one of those people that kind of creeped me out as a kid. And then I got older and he got in trouble for something in a movie theater. And I was like, yeah, that tracks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know that I should base his entire life based on that one thing, but I've never been a huge fan. I have to say of the character or the actor or anything. So I'm sorry he died, but I don't really have much to say other than that.
Yeah, I never really got into the Pee Wee Herman stuff anyway. I never really watched that much as a kid, so or as an adult or anything. So yeah, I mean, I obviously knew of him, but I haven't really seen that much of his work, if I'm going to be honest. So
right, same.
And then only other news item is the Emmys are getting delayed due to the writers actors strike. They're supposed to be next month. This seemed kind of inevitable that as the strike goes on longer, stuff's going to get delayed. And so the Emmys, one of those, obviously can't really have an award show if you don't have the actors and the writers there to, you know, accept the awards and present the awards. So don't know when the Emmys are going to be. Don't know when the strike's going to be over. But whenever the strike's over, I'm sure we'll get an announcement pretty soon after that about the Emmys date, the new date, which could be later this year or maybe very early next year, depending on how long the strike goes. So,
yeah, I'm just wondering at this point, again, I'm still in favor of this strike, but I am wondering, they pushed this back but didn't cancel it. Or postponed it. But I'm just wondering how long this can go on before, like, we have to just cancel all movie releases.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the...
award shows, you know.
Yeah. I think the studios at this point are probably getting close. You know, they're feeling a little more pressure, I think, than they did at the beginning of the strike. Because the beginning of it, they're like, we still have stuff that can come out. And, you know, this delays stuff next year, but we're okay. But as this goes on longer and longer, they're losing, you know, revenue on things like none of the late night shows have been on. So they're losing advertising revenue on those.
So much money.
And lots of other things as well as we kind of go longer and longer in this strike. So.
And I was trying to look up when it officially started. So May 2nd, I believe, is when the writer's strike. So we're hitting almost 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
So this is incredible. And if people want to know, I mean, yeah, there's still some haters that are like, oh, poor rich people, but it's not just rich people that are upset about this. But this does show that when you all work together like this, I mean, if there's enough pressure applied, they're going to get changed. So good for them. I still support it. I still miss my late night shows every single day. Again, thank God for books and reality TV, because at least I still have things to watch and read.
Maybe you can call Seth Meyers and maybe he'll do like a video just for you, like a closer look, but just for
Jared.
You know,
if
Katie.
I had a way to contact Seth Meyers, you'd never see me again. This podcast would be over.
We'd be done. So Katie would be working Seth for Meyers. Late Night with Seth Meyers.
I love Seth. I love Steven. I love them all. I miss them so much.
James Corden. They're kind of glad he, you know, called it quits before the strike. So
yeah, he was just on vacation with Harry Styles. I was green
was
with
he?
Envy. Yes. Okay.
Huh. That's a weird group to hang out together.
Also, oh, they're like besties.
Okay. Since the carpool karaoke stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Before, I think they've known each other from England, like knew each other back in the day.
Yeah.
But they're like really good friends, which is interesting because I love Harry so much. I don't hate James, but also, I haven't heard anything about Harry's dating life in a while, which I find suspect. So who knows?
Watch, something will come out tomorrow. So
yeah. And while we're on that, since we do talk pop culture, I forgot to mention. Did I mention this on the last episode? I don't know if it had happened, but did you see that Travis Scott came for Timmy?
Oh, did he? Timothy Chalamet.
He did. He released a song and he calls out Timothy Chalamet in it. He says something about Wonka. So you know it was like just happened. Because he's upset, you know, that he's dating Kylie, which I'm upset that he's dating Kylie, but not for the same reason Travis Scott is upset about it. But I also was like, wow, if you come for Timmy, I'll come for you.
And you know? I've just been following. Yeah, I understand. So been following the Ariana Grande drama. That's what I'm invested in right now.
Such a mess.
Breaking up a marriage, pretty much. And then I've also seen Selena Gomez just living her best life, kind of vacationing and everything.
She is.
Before
I'm so
Only
happy
Murders
for
in the
her.
Building comes out. Yeah.
She looks great. I'm so proud of her.
So that's our quick roundup of celebrity feuds and, you know, other things going on. So now, before we share our upcoming movies that we're excited for, we're going to share with you our top five downloaded episodes of the Silver Screen Podcast. Now, I know what these are. Katie has not heard these yet. I think you're going to be surprised when you hear what the top five are.
Am I going to be angry, surprised, or like excited?
I don't know. We'll see.
Your face just said angry, surprised is what's about to happen to me.
I will say all these are pretty close together. And then I also got our two most popular episodes from last year. So I'll share those after I do the top five of all time. And obviously the top five are a little bit older because the longer things are out, the more downloads that they get. So keep that in mind, listener, as we go through this list. So coming in at number five, our episode reviewing The King with Timothée Chalamet.
You know what? Not my favorite movie. Honestly, can't remember a single thing about it. But Timothée Chalamet, I'll take it. I do remember it was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix. I can't tell you much more about that movie. I've erased
it
from my
mind. I don't even know another single person that was in it.
And maybe because the title is The King, people that are interested in, like, you know, the royals and things are clicking on it like, oh, maybe they're talking about, like, you know, the royal family.
No. But you have to listen to a certain – don't you have to listen to most of the episode or 50% of it for it to count?
Yes, I believe so. So, you know, listen to a decent amount before you discover that maybe it's not what you want.
You'd think they would figure it out before then.
Number four on the list. This is one that makes a lot of sense to me. Little Women and our top 10 movies of 2019.
Oh my gosh. I'm thrilled. Thrilled. Okay. Little Women, Greta Gerwig's.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And it was our Little Women and the top 10 movies
of 2019. Right? Yes.
Amazing.
Right before the world ended. So.
Wow. That was that long ago.
Yeah. That was
like,
that was the first year we started. Yeah.
That is insane.
that was one of our earlier episodes for sure.
Wow.
Number three on the list of most downloaded episodes. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Coming in at number three.
Okay, I kind of love that for us. And I love a classic. So I'm all about it. I thought of something. Oh, I wanted to say, sorry, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Before you said that, Timothée Chalamet is also in that Little Women movie. So that's interesting. He's in too. So is Timmy the deciding factor? But Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, it's Marilyn Monroe. It's classic. Maybe we should do more classic films sometimes.
Maybe we should. It seems like people enjoyed that. So
yeah.
Number two on the list is Contagion. Now, we recorded this really right before the COVID pandemic really just like got crazy. And I think it was it just happened to be the time that we recorded it. People were interested in that movie. People have gone back and watched that movie during the pandemic and after the pandemic. So I can see why that one was popular.
That makes sense. I'm not upset about it. And then also, we were speaking of guest hosts. We don't have a clip from him, but we should do a call out. John Doty, friend of the pod, also has his own podcast, Bio for Bastards. He was on that episode with us, and he was so helpful because he actually has a degree and knows things about biology. So he helped us with a lot of the scientific context, if you will, in that film. And I had never seen Contagion.
You hadn't.
And then
once I saw that
movie, yeah. Once I saw that movie and then COVID was happening, I was hella scared. So.
Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And our number one most listened to episode of the Silver Screen Podcast is none other than the movie Marriage Story with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson.
That's what I thought, Jared. I'm not upset about this list at all. I'm confused by number five.
Yes.
But everything else really makes sense to me. Now, Marriage Story, I can't say why that's number one, but that movie got so much notoriety and praise by the Academy. The acting was so good. I think people relate to it. It was watchable because it was on Netflix.
Yep.
And I think all people love Scarlett and Adam Driver.
Yeah. Yep. So that's wow. that's number one. And then our two most popular from last year, yes. just so you know, were Don't Worry, Darling, and then West Side Story. So those were the two most popular from last
okay.
year.
Okay. Now I'm shocked by that one. But, well, should I be shocked? Probably not.
By West Side Story?
Yeah. But it's such a famous film that people love. Like the story of it, the original mm-hmm. and stuff. And then Don't Worry, Darling, that is one of those movies that bombed, but the marketing, like people wanted to see it. You put a bunch of hot people in a movie, like some of the hottest people. Then you had the whole, I don't think controversy, but controversy with Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles. I mean,
you had the wow. Harry Styles spitting on Chris Pine
thing
that didn't happen. Yeah,
Chris Pine in his hottest ever era. I mean, he's never not looked good. Let's be real. But growing out his hair, then dyeing it, then cutting it. He's just so funny. I love him. And like everybody, I don't even care. I remember going in and being like, I don't care what this movie's about. These people are so hot.
And that movie provided us content on this show for a good 3 months at least.
It really did. I mean, the anticipation killed me. So great job. It's marketing genius on that film.
Yes. Yeah. So those are some of our most popular episodes. So we thank you for listening to all those. If you've listened to all of them or one of them, or if you listened to The King and were like, this is not a podcast about the royal family, I'm leaving. That's fine too. So we're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the upcoming movies that are coming out later this year that we are most excited for. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast, our 200th episode. Thanks for joining us. We've got our Oscar snubs coming up in just a little bit, but right now we are going to share with you pretty quickly just some upcoming movies that we are excited for that are coming out the rest of the year. We thought this is kind of the halfway point, just a little bit past it. You know, fall and winter is obviously loaded with movies, and so we just wanted to put some things on your radar so that you can be excited about some things that are coming out. Now, we will say we're recording this on August 1st. The day that we're recording this, all these movies are scheduled to come out on the days that we say they are going right. to, but they could always get delayed or pushed back, especially due to the both strikes going on right now. So just keep that in mind. So we're going to start with a film franchise that I have never watched a minute of, and that is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. My Big Fat
You're
Greek Wedding
kidding.
3 coming out in September. Yeah, I've never seen the first one or the second one.
Okay, so since I can be candid on this show, please no hate, everyone. I have seen the first two movies. The first one, it was adorable the first time I saw it. This is one of those movies that I think your age really affects how you feel about the movie. Okay. I don't even know what age I was when the first one came out. I found it to be cute, but I didn't find it nearly as funny as like the aunts and uncles and cousins that I watched it with. Like there's a joke about Windex fixing everything, like cuts and scrapes and things, that if you spray some Windex on it, you'll get better. That provided jokes in my family and extended family for like the last 10 years, just like spray some Windex on it. And I was like, it was funny the first year. It's not that funny now, but it's still cute, but it's a cute movie, but it's not one that I wouldn't say I'm super excited about this third one, but there's definitely an audience that this was made for. And I think because it's boomers and stuff, it's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think there's a nostalgia factor there for sure. So that yes. comes out September 8th, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3. Coming out September 29th is the new movie, The Creator, with John David Washington, Gemma Chan, Ken Watanabe. This is a science fiction movie directed by Gareth Edwards, who has done, I believe, Godzilla and some other movie as well that was pretty big. Music is by Hans Zimmer. I'll read you the synopsis real quick. As war rages between humanity and artificial intelligence forces, ex-Special Forces agent Joshua is recruited to find a person who has developed advanced artificial intelligence and a mystical weapon that could finally end the war. I will say that I think I'm a little more interested for this one than maybe you are, just being more of a fan of science fiction, but it looks interesting. I like John David Washington. He's got a good track record so far, so I'm intrigued by this one coming out at the end of September.
I mean, it does have a great cast, and maybe I'll really like it too. So, but I'm glad you told me about it, because I think I'd seen, has there been a preview about it?
There has been I think just one trailer so far.
Okay.
So yeah.
I think I've seen it one time and it looked kind of interesting, but I think you're right. I think this is just going to be one that you're probably going to like more than me.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. So next up on the list, one of the most anticipated movies coming out for the fall, that is Killers of the Flower Moon on October 20th, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, based on the very popular book, which I'm going to try to read before the movie comes out. I haven't read it yet, but I've got 2.5 months. I think I'm going to try it. That might be my next read. So
excellent. It's a great book. It is dark. I can't ruin any of it for you. Just okay. By the end, you're just like, dang, that was sad. But it's a fascinating story that I don't think this movie's going to let us down. I really don't. I don't even see how it could. And I'm also very happy to see American Indian representation in the film as well. But I think it's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait. There's two movies I'm most excited about for the end of this year, and that's one of them.
It's got already very good early reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics that have seen it so far have really enjoyed it. So,
good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a strong contender for Academy Awards and one of the better movies of the year for sure. So next up, coming out 2 weeks later, is Dune Part 2, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Timothy Chalamet is back, of course. Zendaya is back. Stacked cast for this one once again. The first part was very good, and this is the continuation of it and kind of the conclusion of the story. So I'm intrigued by this one as well. Katie, Dune was one of your favorite movies last year. So
I mean, I am chomping at the bit. The other day when they were like, we think Dune's going to get pushed back, I was like, are you trying to ruin my life? Which sounds very self-absorbed. No one is making any decisions to affect just my life. But it is, I'm being dramatic, but that is the thing I am most excited about film-wise for the rest of the year. And again, common theme, is this going to turn from a Tom Hanks podcast to a Timothy Chalamet podcast?
It feels like it might be going that direction.
I don't mean to do it. I still love Tom. And in fact, Tom will come up multiple times in the rest of this episode.
So that'll be out in November. Of course, Austin Butler added to the cast as well. Hopefully he stopped doing his Elvis voice and can do a different voice for this movie.
I think we're stuck with it.
Oh, okay. I guess we have to be. So that was last year, Austin. You can move on.
I filmed it like 3 years ago. So
yeah. And then he just talked like him for the rest of his life. So
yes.
Coming out on November 17th is a movie called Next Goal Wins. This is the new movie from Taika Waititi starring Michael Fassbender. And it is about a Dutch coach whose name is Thomas Rongen, and he tries to turn the American Samoa soccer team into winners. There's been one trailer for this. It looks pretty cute. Little heartwarming story. Obviously, Taika Waititi at the helm. He's got a great track record. Seems like it's getting some possible Oscar interest as well for certain categories. So I think this is a good release date for this, kind of right before Thanksgiving. You might be spending some time with the family. Seems like it's one that you could take just about the whole family to, and they might enjoy it. I don't know what it's rated yet. Oh, it looks like PG-13. So yeah, seems appropriate for everybody to check out.
I just think it seems like a sweet, heartfelt family movie. I think it's going to be great. And I am so happy to see Michael in another movie. We haven't seen him for a few years.
Next up on the list is The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Now, this is based on the new Hunger Games book that came out a few years ago that I have not read yet, actually. I've read the other three, but I have not read the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. But this is going to be out on the same day, November 17th. Rachel Zegler in the lead role for this one. Peter Dinklage and Viola Davis also in the movie as well. We'll see how this is. Again, I have not read this book. I know it came out in 2020. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I intend to try to get to that too before this movie comes out in November. And this is a very popular film franchise that a lot of people love. So
I lost interest in this a long time ago. So I don't care at all about this, but I do think there's still an audience for it, perhaps. I don't think we needed this, but it is what it is. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Next on the list is Napoleon, starring Joaquin Phoenix, which we've gotten a few trailers for at this point, obviously about the story of Napoleon, directed by Ridley Scott. So that's coming out on November 22nd. Vanessa Kirby also in that movie as well. I feel like any movie with Joaquin is kind of a must watch at this point. So
I am pumped for this movie. I think this is probably number three on things I'm most excited about. I think the only thing that's freaking me out, I think I mentioned this on another episode that we recorded. Joaquin does not seem, at least in the trailer, to have a French accent, and I am thrown by this. We'll see. But Ridley Scott rarely fails. Joaquin, he's a winner all the time. And I love a historical, you know, film. So we'll see.
I have one more to add before we get into December that we forgot about. That yes. is Bradley Cooper's new movie, Maestro.
Dang. Now, that just moved up to number three.
It's supposed to come out sometime this year. There's no official release date yet.
Okay.
But Bradley Cooper playing Leonard Bernstein, Carey Mulligan, Matt Bomer, Maya Hawke, all in the movie. It seems like it is going to come out sometime this year, but we don't have an official date. It's a Netflix movie as well. So we'll have to, but I would assume that it's going to come out sometime in the fall, winter. So we've got to, I think, add it to this list, even though we don't know when it's officially coming out yet.
Agreed. That's definitely going to be my number three pick. Napoleon's going to be number four. Not that we're ranking it. I just feel like people should know I'm very excited for Maestro.
Next up, Wonka on December 15th, starring Timothy Chalamet. The origin Oops. Story of Willy Wonka. Now, I am going on the record. I've gone on the record before saying I really enjoy Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder. I don't really enjoy Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that much with Johnny Depp. This seems like it's an origin story. The trailer seems like Timmy is trying to do his best Gene Wilder impression, but not doing that great. So I'm really kind of skeptical of this one. So
I think this looks weird.
Yep.
The only, and I have zero interest in it. The only reason I will go is Timothy Chalamet. So good job, whoever cast him. That was brilliant. But I have never felt invested in that story. I did just reread three Roald Dahl books, though, because I was like, I wonder if I would like those as much as I did when I was a kid. And the book is really sweet and very creative. I forgot how clever and creative Roald Dahl was. But I just think this is one of those where I'm like, I wish it would have stayed a book and not a movie. I don't deny the brilliance that was Gene Wilder. I understand. But it's just as a concept, not a movie that held any appeal for me. And honestly, I've always been really kind of freaked out by Willy Wonka and what happens to the kids in the film.
Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite movies as a kid. I don't know what that says about me. But I watched it a lot.
That's okay. So. Jared, that's why we work, because our friendship works because we are different.
Yes.
But and have we agree common interests.
Yes. Agree on some things, but different yes. on others. So yes. we've got two more movies left, both coming out on Christmas. Next up is The Color Purple, the remake of The Color Purple. This seems like it's going to be a big hit. Coming yes. out later this year. Halle Bailey in this movie, Fantasia in this movie, Coleman Domingo, Taraji P. Henson, Corey Hawkins, all in this film. Directed by Blitz Bazawu? Is that how you sure. say their name? Okay.
You know, we'll find out before the film. We'll figure it out.
And this looks like this is his really first big movie that he's done in terms of directing it. So, but he's a Ghanaian filmmaker, so from Ghana. So cool. I'm interested to see his take on this movie. And obviously a very diverse cast, mostly an all black cast for the mm-hmm. most part, except for just maybe a few minor characters. And Steven Spielberg is producing this movie as well. So he's still involved.
I think this movie's very likely to be great. I don't know where I'd rank it. I am very excited to see it. I have declared this on the podcast before. I have not seen the original. I am ashamed of myself, but I will definitely watch the original before we see this as well.
Yeah, I have also not seen the original. Maybe we do a review on that one at some yeah. point.
And people, I mean, I have heard never-ending praise about that film. I do know it's sad. Mm-hmm. It's not a, yeah. I don't think it's a film you like leave and you're like, I feel better. Yeah.
So that's coming out on Christmas. And then another movie that's coming out on Christmas is Michael Mann's Ferrari, starring Adam Driver as Ferrari. Shailene Woodley also in this movie, Penelope Cruz, and Patrick Dempsey as well. I haven't heard his name in a while.
I know.
So it's a biopic of Enzo Ferrari. It's supposed to come out on Christmas Day. We've gotten no trailers for it yet. So don't know how it looks. But Adam Driver was at the Indy 500 promoting this movie. So mm-hmm. obviously the studio thinks pretty highly of this one. And anything with Adam Driver is pretty much a must watch. So
I know. With that cast especially, I think things are going to go pretty well. So I'm interested in it. I'm probably definitely not my most anticipated film, but mm-hmm. I think it's one I'll probably enjoy.
I think out of this list, the ones that we just did, my most anticipated is Killers of the Flower Moon. Is that the same for you?
Of most excited?
Yeah, or you're Dune.
Dune.
You're most excited for Dune. Okay. Yeah.
Dune and then Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay. So yeah. I think I would flip-flop those, and Killers of the Flower Moon might be my number one and Dune might be number two. So
cool. They're both going to be great, though, whenever they come out.
So now we'll get into our Oscar snubs. This was suggested to us by Arjun, actually. He said, hey, you guys
yes.
should talk about Oscar snubs and mm-hmm. maybe some of the big things that have gotten snubbed at the Academy Awards. So we took his suggestion, and we're only going to consider Academy Awards ceremonies that have happened in our lifetime. In fact, for me, of my three, two of them are fairly recent, where they, you know, would have happened later in my lifetime. So we didn't consider anything that was before our lifetimes because we weren't alive for that. We didn't watch those Oscars, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got three, and these can either be something that was nominated that didn't win, or maybe somebody or something that you thought should have been nominated that wasn't nominated. Those are all in consideration for the Oscar snubs. So, Katie, you did have a few real quick before we give
yes.
our own that are kind of big ones from before that we were born that you wanted to mention.
Thank you so much. Yes. And I also, for mine, I didn't give it a lot of thought for mine. Like, I did ones that I could like instantly remember because I felt like that if they stuck out to me, then they were probably like significant snubs. But the ones that were before our lifetime that I had to mention, I did a little research. Singing in the Rain, which is my second favorite musical of all time, I would say, won 0, and it was only nominated for Best Supporting Actress and Best Score. That's I don't even know how that's possible, if anyone's ever seen that movie. I mean, that's like the Citizen Kane of musicals, but okay. Then Peter O'Toole. This is funny. I have comments from my brother as well, and I know we're twins, and we have a twin vibe. We both thought of Peter O'Toole. Peter O'Toole is widely considered to be one of the greatest actors who has ever lived. He has passed away. He lost 8 times. He was in Lawrence of Arabia. He was in The Lion in Winter. I mean, phenomenal actor. Was snubbed horribly 8 times. And I think that's the one that maybe like upsets me the most of the older ones. Judy Garland. Only in her lifetime, think of everything Judy Garland is known for. Received 2 nominations. That's it. 2 nominations, never won. And then another one, this one lit me on fire because he might be, he's definitely in top 3 favorite actors of all time. Cary Grant. Cary Grant got only 2 Oscar nominations for his, I mean, he had a vast array of films. I could name 8 right now without
yeah.
even thinking about it. He did eventually get awarded an honorary Oscar, which Peter O'Toole did too, but it's just not the same. Same with Angela Lansbury. I should have mentioned Angela. I can't believe I didn't. Shoot. I'm embarrassed that's not in my 3. What is wrong with me? Okay, moving on. It's maybe she'll be my number 3. Okay. Cary Grant, though, he did get the honorary Oscar. And then the other fact that was insane to me, he was the only lead in a Philadelphia Story that was completely ignored. They love
okay.
Jimmy Stewart. They love Katharine Hepburn. That movie
yeah.
is so good. It is comedy gold. Cary Grant was snubbed.
Those are some very big snubs from Academy Award ceremonies that happened before we were born. So we'll give you what we think our 3 biggest are. Katie might be changing her list right now as we speak with the Angela Lansbury comment. So we'll have to wait and see what her top 3 are. So these are the 3 craziest Oscar snubs that we feel like in our lifetime, and completely personal opinion as well. So coming in at number 3 for me, we are going to the 71st Academy Awards, which were held in 1999. Let me take you there. Whoopi Goldberg was hosting. It says here the ceremony was 4 hours and 2 minutes long. So a nice breezy 4 hours for this Academy Awards. But my snub is going to be in the Best Actor category. I think that Jim Carrey should have been nominated for his role in The Truman Show for this Academy Awards ceremony. And because that's one of my favorite movies, I think his performance makes the movie, and he was not nominated. I will share with you the nominees in the Best Leading Actor category. We had Tom Hanks for Saving Private Ryan, Ian McKellen for Gods and Monsters, which I have never seen, Nick Nolte for Affliction, which I have also not seen, Edward Norton for American History X, and then Roberto Benigni for Life is Beautiful, who won the award. I just think that was not an insanely strong category that year. And I think that Jim Carrey could have maybe taken Edward Norton's spot or Nick Nolte's spot. I think Tom Hanks has to be in there for Saving Private Ryan. But I just think Jim Carrey possibly could have gotten nominated for The Truman Show back in 1999. So I think that's also, it was also kind of more of a dramatic role for him. Obviously, he did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind after that, which is even more of a dramatic role. But I think it was kind of a change for him a little bit in terms of his performance. And I think it's a good performance and the movie's good. So I'm just shocked that that movie in general didn't get more nominations, but also that he didn't get a nomination as well.
Thank you, Jared. That is great. I think also you did had a different way of approaching this. Okay. I did more like the immediate whatever, but I loved the background on that too. I frantically was changing mine. I just took out my number three. I can't. I'm glad. You know what? On the 200th episode, I'm glad that we caught it on tape, though, that I like just remembered one of my favorite people who ever lived was snubbed. Okay. And her death rocked my world.
Your number three. Yeah.
Well, no, my number three is now is what my number two is. It's actually The Dark Knight for not winning Best Picture. Okay. It lost to Slumdog Millionaire. Now, Slumdog Millionaire, I remember I've seen it once, watched it once, thought, wow, what a great movie. But truly, to this day, one of the most depressing films I've ever watched in my life. And I've never watched it since, and I've never wanted to watch it again. And with all of that, like when I think of how many times I've watched The Dark Knight, how many times I quote The Dark Knight, the performances, the direction, everything about it, to me, it's, I cannot believe that it was so overlooked. It was nominated. And then in one episode, I think an episode of our podcast this year, I even brought up that Spielberg had comments about this year recently, like in 2023, there was an article, I think in Variety written where Spielberg was saying that like, now we take these movies, like not necessarily Marvel movies, but movies that can be about a comic book or a graphic novel. We take them so much more seriously than we did back in the day when The Dark Knight was nominated. But I, without fail, I was like, oh, The Dark Knight has to be one of them. And I think when I think of likeability, longevity, rewatchability, everything, it should have beat Slumdog Millionaire.
I would 100% agree with you. I think from a cultural zeitgeist standpoint, The Dark Knight still gets talked about a ton, and Slumdog Millionaire really doesn't. So, yeah. And The Dark Knight, I think, is more of a filmmaking achievement maybe than Slumdog Millionaire was. And I think if all those things don't come together, if you don't have good performances, a good script, good direction from Christopher Nolan, good music, I mean, all that stuff kind of put together makes that movie. So I think, yeah, I am not going to differ with you there. So now we are going to hear from Brandon Shockney, who co-hosted on episode 192 with us, our Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse episode earlier this year, on his congratulations and then also what his big Oscar snub is.
Hello, Katie and Jared. This is your friendly neighborhood Brandon Shockney, wanting to congratulate you both on the amazing achievement of 200 episodes. I'm a big fan of TSSP, that's what we true fans call the show, and look forward to your thoughts each and every week. Creating and, more importantly, maintaining a podcast is a lot of work. You should both be extremely proud of the dedication and quality you've brought to every episode. Now, on to my Oscar snub picks. My first one will be quick, but I had to call it out because I think another one of your former guests will appreciate it. Lawrence Fishburne should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role as Morpheus in The Matrix. 10 out of 10 performance, no notes. Ultimate gravitas, instantly iconic. While the 2000 Oscars celebrating the movies of 1999 had some strong candidates in this category, I would absolutely swap a couple of them out for Lawrence instead. A controversial opinion, maybe, but as Morpheus would say, all I'm offering is the truth. The only possible reason for the snub is that there was a glitch in the Matrix. On to my second and final pick. I'm only going to go back a few years to the 2019 Oscars, celebrating the movies of 2018. The Academy tends to ignore the horror genre, which is a shame, especially in the past decade, because I feel like that's where a lot of creativity and originality is coming from in modern Hollywood. But the movie I want to talk about is called Hereditary, and specifically, the leading performance by Toni Collette. This movie, directed by Ari Aster, takes a lot of swings and asks so much of its actors, with Toni Collette at the center of all of it. She has to play horrified, angry, loving, all these complex, layered emotions, often all within the same scene. It's a very demanding performance, both emotionally and physically, and she gives the material 110%. If you think the movie might not be for you, which is totally fair because it does get quite disturbing at times, I'd at least recommend seeking out the dinner scene on YouTube because it's an incredible example of everything she's accomplishing in this film. Not only would I have nominated her for this year, I think she'd be my winner. Sorry, Olivia Colman. I love you. Okay, that's it from me. Congratulations again. I appreciate you letting me come onto a recent episode as an outlet to pour out all my Spider-Man love. I would be honored to come back any time. While you like to thank the Academy, I'd like to thank you both for sharing your love of film and pop culture with all of us. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go tweak a few of my lists on Letterboxd because I have a problem. Bye, Barbie!
Thanks to Brandon for sharing his Oscar snub and for the congratulations. Much appreciated. We thank you very much for that. It was fun co-hosting with him a couple of months ago on the Spider-Man episode. And so now we'll move into my number two. And this is at the 85th Academy Awards back in 2013, excuse me, hosted by Seth MacFarlane, of all people. Random Oscars host there. But in the Best Actress category, I'm going to say that Jessica Chastain should have won over Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence won for Silver Linings Playbook. Jessica Chastain was nominated for Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes.
Having watched both those movies multiple times, I think if you don't have that Jessica Chastain performance in Zero Dark Thirty, that movie is... You don't have that movie, basically. I mean, her performance makes that movie. So yep. We did an episode on Zero Dark Thirty as well, if you'd like to go listen to that. I forget what number that was, but that was...
I will go find it.
I think during COVID times, we did an episode on that. The other nominees for that year were Emmanuel Rivera or Riva for Amour, which I have not seen. Quvenzhané Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild. And then Naomi Watts for The Impossible. So... It was really a two-woman race there between J-Law and Jessica Chastain, but I think Jessica Chastain should have won that. So,
Jared, that's an excellent pick. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, my love for Jessica Chastain is noted. I don't think we did Zero Dark Thirty. I think – do you remember – well, we used to talk about this podcast or tried to do it when you were still at UND.
Okay. Yes.
Might have talked about it then, but on this like iteration or whatever of this, our podcast, we have not done it.
Okay. Okay.
At least so I have no part of it if it happened. So I could be wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I've checked multiple times. So.
Okay. What is your number two here? Before we get to number two, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
We are going to hear from another guest host.
Thank you.
And that is Colin Bowles, who was with us for episode 142 for his movie he made, Charlatan. We are going to hear from him about one of his Oscar snubs.
Hi guys, Colin Bowles here. I think my two biggest Oscar snubs, one I feel very passionately about, the other I could see it going the other way, but I still feel like they should win. I'm going to do Best Actor, by the way. So the first one is the one I feel less passionately about, per se. Jake Gyllenhaal, Night Stalker, 2014. I think his phenomenal performance in that is something that got overlooked drastically. And I think recently people are starting to notice how great it was just from like TikTok and stuff. But other than that, the one I feel more passionately about because it's my favorite movie, 2010. Jesse Eisenberg should have won for The Social Network. His portrayal on that was amazing. Like, even with an Aaron Sorkin script, talking that fast, just the way he portrayed Mark Zuckerberg in that, this dislike-like type thing for him, and how it was about friendship, and he really made it in that last scene with Andrew Garfield throwing the computer. He was phenomenal. You could even go Andrew Garfield, too. So there's my third, honorary third. And also, I wanted to say congrats on 200 episodes. That's huge, especially with people that make a podcast today. They don't see it through, but you guys are. And I listen almost every week. I really enjoy your movie reviews, and I appreciate when you reviewed Charlatan. We're going to make sure to get that window washed next time. But congrats, and enjoy it. This is a big thing.
Thank you to Colin for sharing his thoughts on our Oscar, on his Oscar snubs and what he thinks should have won or been nominated. And now we have your number two biggest Oscar snub.
Thank you. You're all going to be shocked at this one. It's Angela Lansbury. Just in general, never won an Oscar. She also was given an honorary Oscar. It's not the same. Now, if I got an honorary Oscar, you'd better believe I'd have a party and I'd put it on my mantle and I would never stop staring at it. However, I love her so much. And the main performance, the one she, first of all, I don't even have to look this up. I already know. She was first nominated for Gaslight when she was 19 years old in the film. She was nominated for an Oscar right out of the gate. Same with Audrey Hepburn. She didn't win. But the one that people say the most that she was snubbed for is The Manchurian Candidate, the original one, which came out in 1962. Now, the reason I am not 100% saying that, I do believe it. I have regrettably not watched the original Manchurian Candidate, but I can't tell you how many times in my life I have heard about her losing that award. And I even know she lost it to Sean Astin's mom that I talked about when Angela Lansbury died. She lost to Sean Astin's mom, who was in The Miracle Worker about Helen Keller. So not saying that performance didn't deserve it, but I feel like if there was ever going to be a tie or something, that would probably be the reason. But the fact that Angela Lansbury just wasn't recognized for her body of work prior to the honorary Oscar is a travesty. Also, I'm an idiot. Jared did – I did the search function. I did, but this will help us avoid a correction later. I did the search function, but I missed it. So apparently we did do Zero Dark Thirty, but it was all the way back, episode 68. August 25th, 2020 was the release date. So maybe you know what? I never said I was good at computers. So maybe that's what's going on. Yep, right there, Zero Dark Thirty. I typed in find zero and typed in zero and it didn't pop up. I don't understand. But you know what? The movie is great. Really enjoy that movie. That one I have watched multiple times. And if you would like to listen to the podcast episode, please go back and enjoy.
And now we're going to hear from another guest host, Mandy Shannon, who was with us for episode 161 for Midnight in Paris, about her big Oscar snub.
Hey, Katie and Jared. This is your research assistant, Mandy. Congratulations on your 200th episode. I'm excited to hear your thoughts on Oscar snubs, and as I've been thinking about them, a few specific things come to mind. Most recently, I still think that One Night in Miami is underappreciated, and that Regina King not getting a directing nomination for it feels like it might be a potential snub. But I get that the close and almost play-like approach of that type of movie doesn't work for everyone, and I'm not sure it's been long enough that I can say it stood the test of time for a snub. I'll also say that as I thought about this, there are a few Best Picture Oscar winners that feel like the opposite of a snub, so that like every other nominee that year was snubbed by it winning, but I'll leave those comments for another time. So I think one reason Oscar snubs are so interesting is because they're so subjective. And as your dutiful research assistant, I felt like I need to spend some time thinking about the criteria I would use to determine a snub. How do you operationalize what's a snub? So first and most obviously, it has to be a great movie or performance or direction or whatever the category is, and it has to have not won an Oscar for it. But not winning in and of itself doesn't seem like it reaches the bar of being a snub. To be a snub, there's something inherently unjust. So whatever it lost to has to be less worthy than what was snubbed. And I also think it has to stand the test of time. So you have to be able to look back on it in a few years or even a few decades and still find that the enduring value holds up. So given all of this, I focused on individual submissions rather than, say, saying that it was a snub that Martin Scorsese went decades without an Oscar or that Glenn Close still has never won. So as I thought about these criteria, one thing kept coming back to my mind over and over again. The Shawshank Redemption should have won Best Picture in 1995. And it was a great year for movies. It was up against Four Weddings and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and the winner, Forrest Gump. And I'll just say I was surprised then that Forrest Gump won over Shawshank Redemption, and almost 30 years later, I still think that Shawshank Redemption should have won, and that ultimately it not winning was a snub. So that's my take. Greatest Oscar snub of my lifetime, Shawshank Redemption. I can't wait to hear where you all land on this. Congrats again on your 200th episode. Thanks for all the news, recommendations, and perspectives on movies. You've become a staple of my weekly podcast roundup, and I'm looking forward to a few hundred more episodes.
Thanks to Mandy for sharing her Oscar snub with us. And then before we get to number one for both of us, we also have another guest co-host that has joined us for two episodes, actually. That's your brother, Sean Gainey. So yes. We've got a congratulations from him, and then we will share with you some of his Oscar snubs that he mentioned.
Hey, Katie. Hey, Jared. Congratulations on 200 episodes. It's always fun to listen to you two talk about movies because you're so clearly passionate about them. And I'm glad you have this format to discuss them and share your views and thoughts with the world. I love listening to this show. It really keeps me on top of seeing movies that I love, but that I might have missed without the reminder. And it gives me the rundown on movies that are having a moment so that I never feel like I'm out of the loop. So thanks for sharing your joy with all of us. Thanks for taking the time and being so persistent in recording all these episodes week after week. I can't wait to see what great movies are waiting for all of us, and I can't wait to listen to your next 200 episodes.
Thanks to Sean for shouting us out, giving us some congratulations on the podcast. Very much appreciated. He also had some Oscar snubs that he did not record, but he shared with you and wanted to be sure that we mentioned real quick.
Yes. So I think it's funny you mentioned Tom Hanks and Saving Private Ryan earlier because he mentioned that Saving Private Ryan lost Best Picture to Shakespeare in Love. Sean said that's a snub. He is my roommate and I love him, but Shakespeare in Love is one of my favorite movies. So I disagree, but I also understand the brilliance that was Saving Private Ryan. But Sean, so this is just a Gainey house divided here. I would say Shakespeare in Love. Sean would say Saving Private Ryan. I understand. We respectfully disagree. Another thing, he mentioned Peter O'Toole. And he put, and I quote, "That dude didn't win for The Lion in Winter or Lawrence of Arabia. Are you kidding me?" End quote. And then the other thing that Sean mentioned, I thought this was very clever. And I think a lot of people who listen to the show who really appreciate cinema will agree with this. Sean was really bothered about The Lighthouse being snubbed, the one with Willem Dafoe.
Okay, yeah.
I was super bothered by that movie, but the more that time goes on, I recognize how different it was. I think probably I didn't like how artsy-fartsy it was, and I just didn't care about the subject matter. But I get why that appeals to people, and ultimately this is totally Sean's opinion anyway. But he wrote, I can't even read it all, but it's such a beautifully thought out paper that he wrote to me about The Lighthouse. And he brought up a really good point too. He was talking about how in recent years, was this just last year or 2 years ago, when The Irishman and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out, he said a lot of that is just Hollywood congratulating itself. He said there were people that said he was like, hold on. The writers or whatever would be like, no, I wrote the scene, so it's gold. I don't care if we're over 3 hours already. And then he said, they're directed by old rich men who can do no wrong, according to Hollywood, starring massive cast of old rich guys who can do no wrong, according to Hollywood, all about topics that are about as Hollywood self-indulgent as you could possibly imagine. And I don't disagree with Sean. I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, that's easily my favorite Tarantino film. But I don't disagree with Sean's sentiment that that was a big year for Hollywood congratulating Hollywood. And they do tend to do that. And Jared and I have even talked about that on the podcast. But if you have more, if anybody is ever interested in Sean's comments, maybe we'll have to re-review The Lighthouse or talk to him at a later date. But he just had beautiful thoughts about The Lighthouse, really well thought out, and I was very impressed with it too. So those were his big Oscar snubs. Saving Private Ryan, Peter O'Toole, The Lighthouse.
Yeah, The Lighthouse is a good one because you have Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson, directed by Robert Eggers, didn't have a huge budget. Like you said, kind of weird, different take on storytelling. But yeah, came out and then didn't really get any love after that in terms of awards, but probably should have, at least for a couple of different things, if not for the performances. The cinematography is great in that movie. Production design is pretty cool because it's all in black and white. So all those could have been categories that it could have been considered for. So, okay, my number one Oscar snub of all time was at the 83rd Academy Awards in the Best Picture category. The King's Speech won Best Picture. Now, The King's Speech is a great movie, but yes, The Social Network was also nominated, and I think that The Social Network should have won Best Picture over The King's Speech. I'm even saying that when Inception was nominated that year, which I love Inception, but I think from a cultural impact standpoint, The Social Network, still with what we're dealing with today and like even Elon Musk buying Twitter and rebranding it and all that, I think it's still very relevant today in terms of being discussed culturally. So, and I rewatch that movie quite often as well. I think it's got a great script from Aaron Sorkin. It's directed very well. Jesse Eisenberg gives a great performance as Zuckerberg. Andrew Garfield's really good in it as well. So I just think from that standpoint, I would pick, and I think it's a more exciting movie than The King's Speech as well. Not to say The King's Speech is bad or that Colin Firth's performance is not good in The King's Speech. It is. But I think from a rewatchability standpoint, I think The Social Network would have been my pick for Best Picture back at that Academy Awards.
Okay. Wow. I think we both have strong takes for our number one spot.
Okay.
I really enjoyed The Social Network. I can't stand Zuckerberg as a human being. And I just can't stand like the way those people treated each other in the film. And Armie Hammer, problematic to say the least. And also, he creeped me out from day one. That was the first thing I saw him in. And I was like, I'm not sure about this guy. And I do like that I was right. But I don't know. There's just a lot. However, Andrew Garfield, standout performance in that film.
Yeah.
And I did think all the acting was good. And you're absolutely right. All those people have gone on to have powerhouse careers, even if like Army, How the Mighty Have Fallen. But people like Andrew Garfield, Dakota Johnson, Justin Timberlake has done a lot since then, Jesse Eisenberg, Rooney Mara, crazy, crazy good cast. So that is a good movie. I don't know if I liked it more than The King's Speech, but have I watched it a ton more than The King's Speech? Yes. And you're right. You're really right about like how that story has resonated over time. So very good, Jared. Thanks. I don't think anyone's going to be surprised with my number one. I feel like if people know me, they knew this was coming. My number one Oscar snub of all time was The Shawshank Redemption. Excuse me, just Shawshank Redemption, losing to Forrest Gump. I will never get over it. I'll never stop talking about it.
I knew this was going to be your number one.
You could never change my mind. You can't. I've seen Forrest Gump. Mm-mm. Like, to me, it's no contest. I don't understand how people are like, Forrest Gump was brilliant and Shawshank was mediocre. What?
Also, Shawshank is like way more dramatic of a story. It's a true story.
And to me, Shawshank is much more of a realistic scenario. Maybe not escaping. Although that happens more than you think. But like, as far as the characters and what you're dealing with in that film, that time period of that film, and escaping during that time period, that makes more sense. But things like false imprisonment, that is a tale as old as time, and it is still happening today. And that's no laughing matter. People having affairs on their spouses and people just losing it. The horrible things that happen in the prison system, corrupt people in the prison system, friends who are of different races and backgrounds and things becoming friends in a situation like that where they're forced to be together and stuff. And a story of hope. The only thing I've ever said that movie doesn't have is like women or good women in it. But it's my favorite movie ever. And no matter how much I love Tom Hanks. And I think Forrest was a great performance, an Oscar-worthy performance. But I wouldn't have given it to him over Tim Robbins or Morgan Freeman. I'll never understand. But ultimately, to me, I think the snub is Best Picture. I think that Shawshank should have won Best Picture.
Yeah, and it was not based on a true story. I misspoke there. I looked that up.
Oh, so no. I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry. No,
it's based on a book, right?
Stephen King wrote Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption. And I might, if I remember to do this, I'll take a picture. In our basement, we have a hole where the crawl space is, and we have a poster of Rita Hayworth covering the hole. I'm staring at it right now. So I'm going to take a picture of it. I'll post it on social media for this episode.
Also, that movie was nominated for Best Cinematography, too. Roger Deakins did the cinematography. I feel like maybe it should have won for that, too. The cinematography in that movie is outstanding. So
it was so snubbed. And for Forrest Gump, I'm not saying Forrest Gump wasn't a good movie. I did not watch that movie and think, my life, I am forever changed.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So
thank you.
You know, it's fine. It's a classic, but I think in terms of like impact and story and everything, Shawshank Redemption, I agree with you for the best picture pick. So
thank you.
There we go. Those are our biggest Oscar snubs. We thank you so much for joining us for 200 episodes. This was a long episode. Thank you for listening to the whole thing. And we appreciate you, and we appreciate you sticking with us, whether you've been with us from episode one, whether you jumped in recently. If you just listen to specific episodes with movies you're interested in, that's great too. Just thank you for listening, however you are listening to the podcast.
Yes. Thank you for supporting the podcast. We do love doing it. We'll do it as long as we can, and appreciate you supporting our friendship and our creative endeavors. And thank you too to our guest hosts. You've been very fun. We'll do more. And if anybody ever has feedback, movies you want us to review, TV shows, guest stars you want, let us know, and we'd be happy to try and accommodate.
And next up on the show, we're going to focus on back to school just a little bit because it is back to school time. We're going to review a movie that I've never seen that Katie almost had an aneurysm when I told her. and that is Legally Blonde, starring Reese Witherspoon. I've never seen this movie.
I don't even know. You guys, I know the movie wasn't like targeted for Jared, but I just think, how has he not even like been at home and it's been on the TV? I don't know, but I gave him some of the best quotes to look out and listen for. And I mainly told him like that he'll hear what, like, it's hard to get into Harvard. That's going to be the quote.
I know what it's about. I know that it's a cult classic, maybe not even a cult classic, maybe just a comedy classic.
It's like, it was like the Barbie before Barbie came out. Like, that was Barbie of that time. And Reese Witherspoon she's a doll. Everybody loves her. She is just at her comedic best in that film.
And aren't they working on a new one, or is that just rumored at this point? I can't remember.
That might be rumored. They did do a second one that was Red, White, and Blonde, and Sally Fields in it.
Okay.
And it was okay. It wasn't nearly as good as the first one. I own them both, of course. But I don't know. I don't think they need to do a third one, but the first one was so enjoyable, and I feel like it's one of those movies that is so insanely quotable and rewatchable, and truly, if you call it a romantic comedy or just a comedy, it's one of my favorites.
So we'll review that on the next episode of the show. You can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook. Be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to the show as well. And next up, it will be our review of Legally Blonde.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.